Well, it's very good to see you here this morning for our service. We have some visitors with us, and we are delighted that they have come to join us. We got some folks all the way down from Faulkner University, my alma mater, and several folks in here have attended there as well. And we are thankful for their presence and others that may be visiting from our community. We are delighted that you have come to be with us this morning. If you have your Bibles and would like to, you can open them to Philippians chapter 2. That's where we will take our text for the lesson today. Appreciate the Bible reading from Brandon. That'll go along with something that we're going to be talking about today. And I'm not sure if he was aware of all of that or not, but appreciate it anyways. But if we'll look in Philippians chapter 2, Big Red was speaking the other day in Bible class, and he was teaching. He was talking to us, and he shared a comment from this particular passage of Scripture. It made me start thinking a little bit about some things. And I want to share that passage with you this morning. It says this: do all things without grumbling or questioning, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. And it got me to thinking about shining as lights. And I'm going to admit, as I was sitting there in Bible class, something crazy came to my mind. Maybe you've had this happen to you as well. We'll be sitting there, and something that the teacher will mention will make you think of something that's kind of related, but maybe not as related as it should be, and your mind begins to wonder. Well, my mind began to wonder, and because it began to wonder, it helped me to develop this sermon that I'm going to preach to you today. How many of you, as children, or as adolescents or teenagers, maybe movies? All right, I got a lot of folks that have seen those movies, read those comic books. Well, in the comic book and in the movie, there is a man named Dr. X, Dr. Xavier. And Dr. Xavier, he is a mutant. And there are many mutants in the world. And what that means is that they have a mutation in their body that's caused them to be a little bit different than normal humans. They have a special gift or a special ability. Now, the first slide that I'm going to show you is Dr. X has been able to identify all of the people that are mutants in the world. He has a machine called Cerebro. Now, when he goes into this chamber and he goes to this Cerebro, he can put his little helmet on, and every mutant in the world will come up in that chamber. He can see them. You know how he's able to see them? Because they produce a light different from those that are normal. He can see all of those. Now, I got thinking about that a little bit, and it led me to put this slide up. I thought about night lights in the United States. Here is an image from outer space of the United States at night. Obviously, you can see where there are some areas that are concentrated. There is the Atlanta area, and there's the New York City and Boston area, and the Chicago and the Dallas and the Houston, where there's more light. But isn't that beautiful to see those lights? Again, that led me to think about something else. I thought about sitting in front of my Cerebro machine. That's the computer in the office, by the way, for me. And I sat down in front of that, and I found a map of Decatur. Now, this is not a complete map of Decatur. This was one of the better maps that I could find that you might be able to read some of the area. So it's really just a section of the map of Decatur. And I put that on there, and I began to think about the many people from this congregation, the folks that are associated with us here at Flint, where they work and where they live in reference to this map. So the next slide that I'm going to show you is kind of a small section of Decatur. Now, it might be that I don't hit your section of Decatur, and it may be that you live in Decatur and in a surrounding area that this map doesn't cover. I mean no disrespect from that. Didn't mean to exclude you, but it's just going to happen as we look at it. But here's what I want us to look at. Here's a little cross section, and maybe you can see that. I tried to work with the contrast a little bit so that it would make it a little bit more visible. But here's a big section of our city. Now, if you'll notice, there's a lot of stars on that map. Guess what those stars represent? Those stars represent you. This is where you live. It is where you work. Now, if I were to sit down here and go through the list of the names of people here, I can find my house, my wife and I, Tara and myself, our house is on here. Michael James, his workplace is on there. Sandra Barnes' workplace. Ginger Wood and Tara Presnell's workplace are on there. Anna Richards, your workplace is on there. Cade Presnell, your school is on there. I've got John Richards' school, Audrey Jarrett's home, Larry Shipley's home, Charles and Brenda Wall's home, Ronnie, Ginger, and Tyler's home, Jean and Nora Woodard's home, Julia and Delina Nickerson's workplace, Lyle and Sue Green's home. I've got Patty James' work, Patty Sutherland's work, Jason and Angelique Williams' house, Paula Fagan's work, Paula and Harold Fagan's house, Larry Jenkins' work, Pat Mulliken's home, Joey and Bonnie Madison's home, Pam Jenkins' work, Oksana Perry's work, James Satterfield's work, David Higdon's work, Marie Allred's business, Beverly Flake's work, and Frank McCreeless's work. I've got all of these places with stars up here. Now, what does that represent? That represents the fact that as Christians, we have a sphere of influence in this city. Now, we're talking about shining as lights. If we go back to our passage of Scripture, he says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. These stars represent the light that you are to those that are around you. You are a light to this world. You are an influence. Whether you are at home, whether you are at work, whether you are at school, whether you are at play, you are an influence and you are to shine as a light for people in this world. Now that's what this represents. You know, I got thinking about that, and I got thinking about that in reference to the cerebro machine. What highlights those that are mutants from those that are... Wonder if this is the way God sees it. Wonder if when God thinks about the Christians and identifies the Christians, wonder if His map would be the same. Wonder if all of us are setting the example of being the light that we're supposed to be in our community and to our world. We may think we're Christians. Are we living as Christians? Are we shining as light as God would have us to shine as lights? Well, there's a couple of things that I want us to think about and consider today and how we should shine as lights. And all of our passages of, or all of our thoughts are going to come from our passage of Scripture this morning. So the first thing that I want us to do as we look at our passage of Scripture together today and as we think about shining as light, I want to share this thought with you. First of all, we need to shine as lights of truth to this world. Now go back to the passage of Scripture in verse 15. It says that you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation among whom you shine as lights in the world. Now verse 16 says, holding fast to the word of life so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. Folks, we should be living the righteousness that this crooked and twisted generation or this crooked world needs to see. That's what we need to do. We need to be living that life. You see, there's a lot of confusion out there and there's a lot of people that don't know how to behave appropriately. There's a lot of people that haven't been taught how to live righteously. They don't know. And it seems like it's getting worse all the time. People don't have an understanding of the concept of what is good and true and honest and righteous, and we need to be setting the example for them. We are the righteous life that the crooked world needs to see. And so if you're shining as a light, you need to shine as a light of truth for the world so that they can see that. Next, when we think about shining as lights, we need to shine as lights of life. Now, we look at verse 16. It says, we are holding fast to the only hope of real life there is. Now, have you thought about that? Have you thought about that idea that you are holding fast to the only hope of real life that anybody in this world has? One of these days, our time on this earth is going to end. It's going to end. And our destiny is going to be set. We think about that when we think about Luke chapter 16 with the rich man and Lazarus. When death came to both of those men, their destinies were determined. Lazarus went to a place where there was some joy and there was some happiness and there was contentment. The rich man went to a place where there was torment, terror, pain and suffering. He pled that he might be able to go back and assist his brothers and those that were around him. And that's what I want us to think about today. Here's a guy who at the end of his life and when destiny was set, he recognized that he needed to exert a better influence over the people that was around him. He needed to shine as a light for those that were in his family. And what was said to him was this: your time has come and gone. You had your opportunity. Your chance was there, and you missed it, and I'm sorry. There's no going back. There's no going back. We have hope of eternal life, of eternal joy, and we can share that hope with other people, because if we don't share that hope, their destiny is going to be that of the rich man's. And so we are holding fast to the only hope of real life that there is in this world. And that's what he says: hold fast to the word of life. Hold fast to that. And so we've got to shine as lights of truth. We've got to shine as lights of life. And finally, we've got to shine as lights of joy. Lights of joy. That's why I love what Brandon read for us a few moments ago. He started out in chapter 4, verse 4. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice." We can go back to a couple of other passages of Scripture. We can look at verses 17 and 18 here. He says, "Even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith, I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me." Now listen to the circumstances that surrounded Paul at this particular time. Here in Philippians, we know this particular epistle as a prison epistle. Here Paul is writing to the Christians at Philippi from prison. Most of us do not want to spend any time in prison. It's not a pleasant place. And we don't want to spend time there. But here is Paul, and here's Paul talking about rejoicing. I'm rejoicing. I'm living a life of joy, even though my circumstances may not be what people would consider the best. And I want you to rejoice. And I want you to live lives of joy, looking forward to what is coming. Isn't that what it says about Jesus in Hebrews chapter 12? "For the joy that was set before him, he endured the cross, despising the shame." It was for that joy. So we're supposed to live lives of joy. Again, in chapter 3, verse 1, "Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. To write the same things to you is no trouble to me and is safe for you." Rejoice in the Lord. So we need to shine as lights of joy. Nothing turns people off more than to see a bunch of negative, unhappy people. How many of you like being around negative, unhappy people all the time? Well, that's what I'm looking for. Every time I get up in the morning, I say, man, who can I be around today that'll be unhappy and negative the whole time? We don't want that. And as Christians, there's no reason for us to be negative. There's no reason for us to be unhappy. We have the greatest hope there is. We should rejoice in it. And so as we live our lives and as we think about those people that we're going to come in contact with and correspond with, let's remember to shine as lights. There needs to be a distinction between us and others. There needs to be a distinction between Christians and the worldly. And I'm afraid that sometimes those lines get skewed and maybe that view gets blurred because we begin to try to mimic and live like the world. But there has to be a distinction. We are set apart. And the only way that we're going to be able to make a difference for Jesus Christ is to help people understand that distinction, and we need to shine as lights. And if we're going to shine as light, those are the ways we need to shine. We need to shine as lights of truth. We need to shine as lights of life. We need to shine as lights of joy. Now, maybe you've not been shining like you should. Maybe for some reason you have blown out your Christian light, or you have flipped the switch on your Christian lamp, and you're not living the life that you need to live as a Christian. You're not standing up for truth, holding fast to it. You're not a person who is rejoicing in the hope of life that you've been given through Jesus Christ so that others can see that. Maybe you're not walking around with the joy that you need to have in your heart and the rejoicing in Jesus that you need to demonstrate that joy for other people. And if that's the case, I want to help you. Jesus wants to help relight your flame. You know, we sing that song, that devotional song, Light the Fire. Light the fire. Well, Jesus wants to light the fire in you, and He will help you rekindle your fervor and your zeal for Him if you've lost it. I hope that you'll think about and reflect upon your influence in the community. Hope that you'll see the need to shine as a light for other people that are around you. And if you're not a Christian, we want to beg and plead with you to become a Christian, because it's the only hope that you have in life eternal. So if you're not a Christian, we want to encourage you to respond to the invitation this morning and repent of your sins and confess that Jesus is the Son of God, be baptized to wash away those sins. And if it's the case that you've lost your zeal and your fervor and you're not shining as a light for Jesus, you need to recommit yourself. We want to encourage you to do that so that we can pray with you and pray for you while together we stand and sing.